2. Who is the man who rides past? Tell me a story, Anne-Marie, begged Kirsty as she snuggled beside her sister in the big bed they shared. Tell me a fairy tale. Anne-Marie smiled and wrapped her arms around her little sister in the dark. All Danish children grew up familiar with fairy tales. Hans Christian Andersen, the most famous of the tale tellers, had been Danish himself. Do you want the one about the Little Mermaid? That one had always been Anne-Marie's own favorite. But Kirsty said no. Tell one that starts with a king and a queen, and they have a beautiful daughter. All right. Once upon a time, there was a king, Anne-Marie began. And a queen, whispered Kirsty. Don't forget the queen. And a queen. They lived together in a wonderful palace, and... Was the palace named Amalienborg? Kirsty asked sleepily. Shh. Don't keep interrupting, or I'll never finish the story. No, it wasn't Amalienborg. It was a pretend palace. Anne-Marie talked on, making up a story of a king and queen and their beautiful daughter, Princess Kirsten. She sprinkled her tale with formal balls, fabulous gold-trimmed gowns, and feasts of pink frosted cupcakes, until Kirsty's deep, even breathing told her that her sister was sound asleep. She stopped, waited for a moment, half expecting Kirsty to murmur, "Then what happened?" But Kirsty was still. Anne-Marie's thoughts turned to the real king, Christian X, and the real palace, Amalienborg, where he lived, in the center of Copenhagen. How the people of Denmark loved King Christian. He was not like fairy tale kings, who seemed to stand on balconies giving orders to subjects, or who sat on golden thrones demanding to be entertained and looking for suitable husbands for their daughters. King Christian was a real human being, a man with a serious, kind face. She had seen him often when she was younger. Each morning, he had come from the palace on his horse, Jubilee, and ridden alone through the streets of Copenhagen, greeting his people. Sometimes when Anne-Marie was a little girl, her older sister, Lisa, had taken her to stand on the sidewalk so that she could wave to King Christian. Sometimes he had waved back to the two of them and smiled. Now you are special forever, Lisa had told her once, because you have been greeted by a king. Anne-Marie turned her head on the pillow and stared through the partly opened curtains of the window into the dim September night. Thinking of Lisa, her solemn, lovely sister, always made her sad. So she turned her thoughts again to the king, who was still alive, as Lisa was not. She remembered a story that Papa had told her. Shortly after the war began, shortly after Denmark had surrendered, and the soldiers had moved in overnight to take their places on the corners. One evening, Papa had told her that earlier he was on an errand near his office, standing on the corner waiting to cross the street, when King Christian came by on his morning ride. One of the German soldiers had turned suddenly and asked a question of a teenage boy nearby. "Who is that man who rides past here every morning on his horse?" the German soldier had asked. Papa said he had smiled to himself, amused that the German soldier did not know. He listened while the boy answered. "He is our king," the boy told the soldier. "He is the king of Denmark."
"Where is his bodyguard?" the soldier had asked.
"And do you know what the boy said?" Papa had asked Anne-Marie. She was sitting on his lap. She was little then, only 7 years old. She shook her head, waiting to hear the answer. The boy looked right at the soldier, and he said, "All of Denmark is his bodyguard." Anne-Marie had shivered. It sounded like a very brave answer. "Is it true, Papa?" she asked, "what the boy said?" Papa thought for a moment. He always considered questions very carefully before he answered them. "Yes," he said at last, "it is true. Any Danish citizen would die for King Christian to protect him."
"You too, Papa?"
"Yes."
"And Mama?"
"Mama too."
Anne-Marie shivered again.
"Then I would too, Papa, if I had to."
They sat silently for a moment. From across the room, Mama watched them, Anne-Marie and Papa, and she smiled. Mama had been crocheting that evening 3 years ago, the lacy edging of a pillowcase, part of Lisa's trousseau. Her fingers moved rapidly, turning the thin white thread into an intricate narrow border. Lisa was a grown-up girl of 18 then, about to be married to Peter Nielsen. When Lisa and Peter married, Mama said, Anne-Marie and Kirsty would have a brother for the very first time. "Papa," Anne-Marie had said finally into the silence, "sometimes I wonder why the king wasn't able to protect us. Why didn't he fight the Nazis so that they wouldn't come into Denmark with their guns?" Papa sighed.
"We are such a tiny country," he said, "and they are such an enormous enemy. Our king was wise. He knew how few soldiers Denmark had. He knew that many, many Danish people would die if we fought."
"In Norway they fought," Anne-Marie pointed out.
Papa nodded.
"They fought very fiercely in Norway. They had those huge mountains for the Norwegian soldiers to hide in. Even so, Norway was crushed."
In her mind, Anne-Marie had pictured Norway as she remembered it from the map at school, up above Denmark. Norway was pink on the school map. She imagined the pink strip of Norway crushed by a fist.
"Are there German soldiers in Norway now, the same as here?"
"Yes," Papa said.
"In Holland, too," Mama added from across the room. "And Belgium and France."
"But not in Sweden,"
Anne-Marie announced, proud that she knew so much about the world. Sweden was blue on the map, and she had seen Sweden, even though she had never been there. Standing behind Uncle Henrik's house, north of Copenhagen, she had looked across the water, the part of the North Sea that was called the Kattegat, to the land on the other side.
"That is Sweden you are seeing," Uncle Henrik had told her. "You are looking across to another country."
"That's true," Papa had said. "Sweden is still free."